And I certainly appreciate Brother Scott's message on Psalm 22. But it is a blessing to have Brother Larry Winkler. He pastors the Blue Ridge Baptist Church in Caldwell County. And it is our honor and privilege to have this man of God preaching each night of this week of camp meeting. No stranger here. You hear him gladly. Pray for him as he preaches the word of the Lord. Hadn't changed a bit in his style. He's still the same. And I love him. I appreciate you. Amen.
You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Acts chapter 6, verse 15. Acts chapter 6, verse 15. I do appreciate the message. It's always good to go to the cross. As a matter of fact, no matter what text we take, as soon as we possibly can, we should go to the cross. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Thank you so much, Brother Scott, for that message and all the wonderful singing and the messages that we've heard today. God spoke into my heart through each of them. And I certainly do appreciate this camp meeting. I appreciate Brother Steve and his family, the Calvary Baptist Church, and all the churches that are involved in this meeting. As you know, this meeting doesn't just happen. There are those that have to clean the restrooms, wipe pews, take care of the shaving, sound system, park cars, mow grass, and a whole lot more. But I appreciate Brother Steve and the way that God has used him as he has led this meeting through the years. And we certainly do need meetings like this in our day. And I do appreciate a camp meeting that has stayed with the old paths and the old way. And I'm humbled and honored just to be asked to have a part in these services. But thank you so much for the privilege to be here. Acts chapter 6, verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And then also in the 7th chapter, verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence tonight to ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, lust, action, attitude, whatever about me that's unchristlike, and become as a child of God, I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Lord, thou said that you cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray that nothing shall be between my soul and thee. Thank you for this day, for the mercies of it. Thank you for what you have said to us in this place. And thank you for what you've said to us in this service tonight. Thank you for this camp meeting. I pray for Brother Steve, Lord, as he directs the meeting. I pray that you'll give him physical strength and spiritual anointing and heavenly wisdom. Lord, that everything that is done in this place will be to the glory and the praise of God. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. Amen. I've been thinking about these services, and if I had a theme, I think this week would be getting people to Jesus. And certainly we have been instructed tonight how to do that. It is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that we are and ever shall be in the grace of God. We owe the fact that Jesus paid our sin debt in full on the cross. I want to speak to you about the Christian life. You notice in verse 15 that I read, that as the council sat and looked at Stephen, they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel, a shining face. And then in verse 58, as they'd cast Stephen outside the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Before that, in verse 56, he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And so Stephen beheld the sublime face, the face of the Lord Jesus. And then in verse number 58 implies, of course, they saw the scornful face, the face of Saul. I guess we could call this, let's face it. But I am grateful that in the grace of God that I have experienced the love and the life and the liberty through Jesus Christ, through the Christian life. The book of Acts, and someone has said, is really the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. 6 years have passed between Pentecost and the martyrdom of Stephen. And the church has gone into a multitude of disciples. And so we read about in the 6th chapter about the election of its first officers, men that were to be spiritual men, full of wisdom and truth and full of the Holy Ghost. It's just as important that people that serve tables be full of the Holy Ghost and have wisdom, as well as those that distribute the Word of God. And they were appointed so that the apostles could give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Now, I know that sometimes I've heard people talk about preachers who just want to spend time alone with God in their study. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I do believe that we need to see the face of God before we see the face of men. And then go into all the world and preach the gospel. I think about Moses. When Moses had an experience with the Israelites of the golden calf, and Moses said to the Lord, "I'm not going unless your presence goes with me." And that should be the attitude of every servant of God, deacon or pastor. We will not attempt to operate without the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know that sometimes it's hard to get people to serve. I read the other day about a man on a subway who gave a woman his seat, and because of his kindness, she passed out. And when she came to, she said to the man who gave her the seat and thanked him for his thoughtfulness, he fainted. And so sometimes the service is a rare thing. The name Stephen means crown. Now imagine a mother giving her child a name, a son, the name of Stephen. She could not have imagined that he would wear a crown as the first martyr recorded in the church. There might have been other martyrs, of course, but this is the first one that is recorded in the Word of God. I do not know how old Stephen was, but evidently he was a young man, and his life was short. But you don't measure a person's success in life by their years, but by their faithfulness to God. I think about William Featherstone, a young man when he was 16 years old, who wrote, "My Jesus, I love thee. If ever I love thee, 'tis now." And died at the age of 22 or 23. I think about Fanny Crosby, the blind hymn writer. By the age of 15, she had memorized 15 books of the Bible. And before she died, she wrote 8,000 to 9,000 gospel songs. But her grandmother taught her about God and the Bible. And her grandmother said, "If Fanny is to remain blind, I will be her eyes." And so, a life is measured not in the amount of years and the number of years, but of our faithfulness to God. Stephen's life was a full life. Now, the story of Christianity is the story of regenerated people. And I do not know how old Stephen was when he was martyred, but his career was very brief. He is described as full of the Holy Spirit. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit is the direct result of Pentecost. The same Holy Ghost that descended upon those 120 believers is the same Holy Ghost who baptized me in the body of Christ. One Lord, one baptism. Now there are many infillings, and we need to be filled with the Spirit of God anytime we attempt service for the Lord. Dwight L. Moody, the famous evangelist, gives the experience of walking down the street in New York City. And he said, "I cannot explain it, but I know that I was overwhelmed with the presence and the glory of God until I had to say, 'Lord, please stay your hand.'" That's a wonderful experience. Amen. I began preaching at the age of 12. And of course, I've only had one gear. Now, when I started preaching, the first couple weeks, I preached the first church, first time at Central Baptist in Whitnall, the second and the third time at Calvary Baptist in Taylorsville. And you may not believe it, but I didn't move from behind the pulpit. I wasn't afraid, I just didn't move. But one Sunday morning shortly after that, I was preaching in a large, dignified Baptist church. And they had a neck mic around me. And of course, there's no such thing as a wireless mic or an ear mic or whatever this is called. And I forgot that that neck mic was around my neck. And I got stirred up, went flying out to the end of the platform, and nearly hung myself. But I thought when I got home, I like that. I like being loose in the Spirit. And I said, "Lord, if you'll do that again, I'm open to it the rest of my life." And that's the gear God put me in. And I know that all of us are different. Some men speak low and softly. Some men yell and scream. And it does not matter about the method. The thing is that we be faithful to God and that we just use the ability that God has given us. But I am grateful for the many infillings of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, "When did God anoint you to preach?" And I said, "The first time." Well, there wouldn't have been a second time. But I want to tell you, since then, there have been many infillings. And there have been many times that I've just been overwhelmed by the grace of God. And just to be honest, Brother Steve, I have threw a few fits for God down through my life. And I'm not ashamed of it. I like it. And Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit of God. And that does not mean that you're loud or low, active or inactive. But it means that the Spirit of God is in control, that you're just an instrument that you're a vessel in the Lord's hand. He was full of faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not hard. It's not difficult to please God. Without faith, you can't do it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And certainly we are aware that all we are, we owe the grace of God. And as a matter of fact, the apostle said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. My faith is in Him. He's the object of my faith. But He also is the author of my faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And the glories of Christ are a wonderful in a person's heart. I've often wondered how a preacher can preach about the glories of Christ with the countenance of a corpse. Stephen was full of faith. He was full of power. He preached with power. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. In Acts chapter 2, 8, on the day of Pentecost, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, spake unto them. Now I do fear, Brother Dana, that there might be some preachers, if they were charged with PUI, would get off scot-free. That is preaching under the influence. And every time we preach, we need to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. Stephen was full of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And as those deacons were to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, they were not even to take care of the widows and pass out bread unless they were full of the Holy Ghost. And if that was a necessity, how much more is it a necessity to preach the word or to be a witness even? The Bible said, James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He'll give you some. Just a couple weeks ago, I was in a meeting in South Louisiana, and the pastor took me on an airboat ride through one of those swamps. And I was sure glad that that young man knew the way through the swamp and he knew how to get back out. I'd have never found my way out. And if I'd have fallen into that swamp, you'd never seen me again in this life. We're in a swamp politically and spiritually. But I follow one who said, I know whence I came and I know whither I go. He knows the way. He will safely lead me, and wherever He leads, I will follow. He was full of wisdom. Stephen's life was a finished life. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Stephen's life is chiefly the story of his death. We're not told anything about his life. We're not told anything about his age. We're not told anything about of his biography, of his history. But he's remembered as the first martyr who did his best through the power of the Holy Ghost to get people to God. He defended the faith. And like Christ, who began at Moses and espoused to those disciples, those amassed disciples, began at Moses, he expounded all the things concerning himself. And that's what Stephen did. He started with Abraham and gave them a history of Israel and showed them while they bragged about being the children of Abraham and of Moses, how that they actually despised their leaders. And Moses even. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ for the greater riches of Christ, greater than the treasures of Egypt. And the message summed up is Christianity is God's way to a new life based upon the sovereign revelation of God and according to His word through His power. He brings us into His family. He drew me, and I followed on, charmed to confess that voice divine. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Stephen defended the faith. Those of the synagogue, of course, didn't take it so well. And they stirred the people up. And Stephen was brought before the leaders. And Stephen was full of faith and power. And because he did great wonders and miracles among the people, he was despised. They brought him before the council, and they got false witnesses to falsely accuse him. And that, of course, that reminds us of our Lord. And they that sat in the council saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now, I'm sure Stephen didn't know that his face glowed like an angel. But these on this council saw his shining face, but they did not care. Their hearts were so hardened. They had murder in their hearts. And even the shining face of Stephen before them did not affect them. You remember that when Moses had an experience with God on the mountain. And he said, "Lord, I want to see your face." But God said, "No man can do that and live. But I'm going to do the next best thing. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to pass by. And that'll do." And sure enough, it did. When he walked through the camp of Israel, Moses wished not. He didn't know that his face was shining. But Aaron knew it. And the people knew it. And they were afraid of him. And they saw Stephen and his glowing face. But still, that did not deter them. The history of real Christianity has been that of persecution. Think about those Christians in the Colosseum of Rome, men and women, and as they would bring them out, and the elite and the nobles would sit in the grandstand enjoying refreshments and cheering while the lions devoured them and literally tore them to pieces. I remind you that our faith is a faith that has been a trail of tears. They that live godly shall suffer persecution in this world. Now, I don't have to remind you tonight, but our freedoms seem to grow less and less. Not only every year, but every week. And we're close to socialism. But I do know that there's a God in heaven who rules over the affairs of men. And I do know that God said of that wicked Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, "He's my servant." He just don't know it. The Lord raises up kings, and the Lord takes down kings. He's in control. He's in charge. And I believe that with all my being. I do not know what a day may bring, but I know God who holds tomorrow in His hands. Now, of course, when they heard the words of Stephen, they gnashed on him with their teeth. And they didn't only just gnash on him with their teeth. They put their fingers in their ears. "Shut up. Shut. We don't want to hear him. Shut up. Shut up. Please shut him up." I guess I'm getting old. I think about a lot of experiences. But I was just a teenager. And I was preaching at a church. and I won't call the name of it, but it had one of its names was sugar. Of course, that could be anywhere in America, but it was a sugar so-and-so Baptist church. And I'll never forget. I wasn't but maybe 15 or 16. And I've been preaching 15 minutes. And the pianist said, I wish he had shut his old mouth. I want to go home sometime tonight. And you know what I did? I finished preaching. That's all I knew to do. And the spirit that arose in these people, these Sanhedrin, these Sadducees, is still in our day. The Bible says, Paul says, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and the truth shall be turned into fables. But he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come. They will not endure sound doctrine. But in spite of that, we're to keep on preaching. Now, of course, you can't never win by arguing with the devil. He'll always out-argue. I read about a lady once was in a dress shop. And the dress was expensive, and she was admiring herself in the mirror and was thinking about getting it. And she said to the devil, Satan, get thee behind me. And she said, the devil said, it looks good back here too. You can't argue the devil. You can't win an argument with the devil. He'll always win. He's a roaring lion, and he is the devourer. And I remind you that we have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling which speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hebrews 7 says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And there is a man in heaven who intercedes for me, the man, Christ Jesus, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. When Stephen looked up and saw the Lord Jesus standing at the Father's right hand, Jesus was exactly where he said he would be. He said, I'm going away, and I'm going to the Father's right hand, and I'll send another comforter, and he will comfort you and pray for you. And until I come again, you have a comforter in the world, a convictor of sin. Our Lord is seated at the right hand of God. But on this occasion, he stood up. I can't think of the preacher's name, but I used to preach with him some. And he preached from this text and called this account, Jesus is not going to take this sitting down. And he didn't. He stood up to welcome Stephen home. And I am grateful that one day he's going to stand up and say to his church, it's time to go get my bride. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And it's a wonderful thought to know that we that are alive on earth will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But those that are already in heaven are coming back with him. And what a glorious moment when the Lord gives the word to come back to this earth to receive his church in the air. They cast Stephen out of the city and they stoned him. And as the stones were causing the blood to flow from his body, he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. And that's where he's at tonight. He hadn't got old and feeble. He hadn't got senile. He's the ancient of the days. He still intercedes. And he prays for us. And what a difference does it make when a life is lived for the glory of God and in honor of God. The fullness of Stephen's life is revealed in the way he died. He died with stones crushing and mangling his body. And yet he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I had the privilege once to visit the church where Robert McShane pastored, that great Scottish preacher in Dundee, Scotland, who died at the early age of 29. And one Monday morning, one of his brethren, one of the fellow preachers, came to him. And Mr. McShane said, "What did you preach on yesterday?" And the young preacher said, "I preached on hell." And Robert Mary McShane said to that young preacher, "Were you able to do it with tears?" And that should be always our attitude when we preach on the subject of hell. And please don't get hellishness in you in preaching about hell. Hell is certainly no laughing matter. It's no joking matter. I know multitudes, I'm afraid, that are in hell. Some of my friends, and I fear sometimes even some of my family, are in hell forever, forever, and forever. And that's a terrible thought. And Stephen said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And that was the same prayer of our Lord as he died on the cross and took his last breath. His life was forever. His life is like a story with a begin, or life is like a story with a beginning and an end. And we do not know when the last entry into our life's chapter will be written in this life. The Christian is described in death as departing. Paul said it's far better to depart with Christ and be as far better to depart and be with Christ, absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's a putting off of this tabernacle. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Brother Curtis Preston said to me before service, "I believe you said you're 51 years old and you don't feel quite as agile as you do when you were 31. Well, I'm 73 and I have to admit, I don't feel quite as agile as I did when I was 12. But the fire still burns in me. My body just don't cooperate. But God put something in my heart that's everlasting and eternal. And the only thing that keeps me from heaven is this body. I'm so grateful that I've been to Calvary. One of these days, excluding the come of the Lord with this body, we'll go back to the grave, go to the dust. But it's only for a while. These bodies will sleep, not in the sense that we're just left here to slumber, but they will wait until we receive a new body when Christ shall come again. That is the Lord's people. We will have a new body, a new body like the Son of God. One day a workman of the great chemist, Michael Faraday, accidentally knocked a small cup of silver into a jar of acid. And no one thought that it could possibly be recovered. But when Mr. Faraday came in, immediately he put some chemicals in that jar of acid. And he lifted it out, took the shapeless mass to a silversmith, and the cup was restored. If Michael Faraday could raise up his cup and restore it, God can restore our sleeping and scattered dust. It does not matter. The body may be lying beneath the restless waves of the sea, may be lying in some lonely cemetery. The body may have been blown to pieces, but it does not matter. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when it shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Christ is the head of the church. He's the help of the church. And he is the hope of the church. Amen. I am so grateful that Jesus came down to this earth and paid my sin debt on the cross. And because of what he did on the cross, I will live forever and forever. Thank God for the cross. The other night I heard George Beverly Shea singing. I think he lived to be 100 when he died, when he passed away. I don't know how old he was, but he was singing on the old rugged cross. And he said, growing up in Ontario, Canada, two young ladies came across from Michigan, and they sung on a hill far away, stood on an old rugged cross, there the emblem of suffering and shame. And he said, something stirred in my heart. And 2 years after that, I was saved and came to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I said, praise God, George. That's what happened to me when I was an eight-year-old boy. Amen. My home church was having a tent meeting in our neighborhood. I rode my bicycle, sat behind some bushes, and I can still hear them singing at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. There the burden of my heart rolled away. Was it for crimes that I've done? He died upon the tree. And thank God at the cross, He secured my eternal redemption. And I am what I am by the grace of God. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ our Lord. Fast.